Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And on today's episode, we're going to talk about some of our personal interests, I think is what we kind of decided on.
Yes.
But first, we're going to talk about Sarah has hives. She's covered in lesions. No, hives.
Not lesions. I am covered in hives. I don't know why. And I'm doing everything I possibly can to like figure out what's causing it. I took a bath with some oatmeal soap to try to help. I like changed all my sheets. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm living off Benadryl right now.
Yikes.
Yeah, it sucks.
So I do want to, that does suck. Have you tried using does it itch or anything?
Oh yeah, it itches hardcore.
So what do you do for like the itch?
I've been using some itch relief lotion. I almost said ocean.
No.
I've been using Aveeno Skin Relief. Not a sponsor. So I've been using that when the itching gets really bad. And then I just take, if I can't stand the itching, I take enough Benadryl to knock myself out. Which probably also isn't healthy, but.
Probably not, no. Yeah. I'm wondering, have you tried like stopping using something to see if that helps it?
Yes.
Like what have you tried to stop using?
I stopped smoking weed.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my first thing. Cause I know at one point you were like super, like you were allergic to.
Yeah. I haven't smoked weed in like 2 days and it hasn't helped.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what's causing it.
Like, yeah. Are they using like a new, like in your apartment, your house that you live in, are they using like a new air? What am I trying to say? Like a scent or something that they're putting into the air?
We had a Glade plug-in in the spare living room, which is where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and I unplugged that just in case. But I mean, it's going to take a little time for it to like completely leave the air. Yeah. So I'm just kind of waiting for that. We vacuumed the upstairs. I cleaned my room. I've changed the sheets. I've washed my sheets again.
Did you wash them and then like run them through just a water only cycle after you washed them?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm like washing my hands after I interact with the animals at all. Like, no. I don't know.
It's crazy. That's insane.
I went to the ER the other day because I woke up and my face was all swollen. I went to the ER, they gave me prednisone and Benadryl and were just like, go home. We don't know what it is. You'll have to see an allergist. And I'm like, okay, but I can't see an allergist because they're going to ask me to stop taking all my allergy meds for 2 weeks to be able to like do the testing. And like whatever is going on right now is obviously bad enough that I'm swelling up. So like, I'm like, that's not safe for me to do right now.
Yeah. I mean, could they give you like continue giving you prednisone to kind of help with that until
maybe?
Yeah. But
prednisone is a sucky drug to have to take.
I don't think I've ever had to take it.
I've been off and on prednisone my whole life because it's an anti-inflammatory, so it helps with asthma. And it sucks. It makes me feel too warm. It makes me feel angry at everything.
Yeah.
And it like keeps you awake, makes you jittery. And it also makes you feel like you're starving. So no matter how much you eat, you just can't feel full. It's one of the worst medications I've ever had to be on. And the less I have to take it, the better. But
yeah, that's gross.
But I'm kind of like almost at the point where I'm like, okay, just prescribe me another thing of prednisone so I can at least like figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another.
Yeah. I do have, so I don't know if you remember, we talked about Charlotte, the stingray that was pregnant
or yes.
That got pregnant. So yeah. She still hasn't had her babies. And it was like when they first announced it in like early February, they're like, she could have them any day now. And then it was like the discussion was, well, is she pregnant? Did she like become like make herself pregnant? I don't remember what that there's a specific thing that it's called.
Right.
Did she get pregnant through her own means or did she get pregnant by a shark, one of the sharks? And a marine biologist came up and said they there's no potential way that they could have gotten pregnant from a shark.
I was going to say, like, how would that happen? Because that is, they're two very different species. Like, yeah. I can understand, like, when mules and ligers happen.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're in the same type of family.
They have enough genes that are similar to where it would be compatible. Whereas right. stingrays and sharks are not, I don't think they're that close. Just because they're both aquatic animals doesn't mean that they're that close enough to be able to produce. So they estimated the delivery was February 21st. And now it's February or March 9th, and there's still no update that she's had her babies. I am personally going to say it's probably not a pregnancy. It's more likely that it is a tumor or something that has manifested in the form of looking like a baby, like an embryo or something like that. And mm-hmm. that's what it is. It's not actually she's pregnant.
Right.
Like, to me, it seems like if she was pregnant, she would already have it. She would already have had it. But if she's, since she's, I don't think she is pregnant.
Right.
It's just insane. So that was interesting. And I just pulled it up and I was like, is she still pregnant? And it's as of the 7th, which is what the latest update I have. March 6th, sorry, is mm-hmm. the latest I found. She's still pregnant.
Yeah. I just looked up an article from yesterday, not yesterday, day before yesterday, talking about how some people are saying that they just spouted out a date to like keep people interested and
yeah.
like all this other stuff, or that she's already had the baby, but they're just posting old videos. And I'm just like, okay, I don't know. I feel like they would know whether or not she was actually pregnant or whether it was a tumor.
Well, I mean, maybe they did an ultrasound, but it's also like it's a stingray. So how unless you like drug them, how docile can you get them to be and still be able to do an ultrasound on them? So they did do an ultrasound, but it was like it didn't. We've seen it, but I don't know exactly like what it was showing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they saw. And maybe they did see a baby swimming around in her belly. I don't know. But I mean, to me, it seems like it's more likely a tumor or something like that than it is a baby or babies. It's a tumor. What do you know what that's from?
It's from Twins, isn't it?
No.
No, it's not from Twins where he's where he and Danny DeVito are.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's from Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, it might be Kindergarten Cop. Yeah. No, you might be right. I think you might be.
Yeah, Kindergarten Cop. It's not a tumor.
I just know that it's Arnold Schwarzenegger that says it.
Yeah. Yep. And I think he says it to one of the kids. Oh, that is. Yeah. So he says it to one of the kids that says he thinks he has a tumor. And then later in life, that child died of a brain tumor. I remember this now. Yeah.
Well, that's not great.
Interesting. So you want to jump into the topics this week? So I have
four things that you're really passionate about.
Yeah. So four things kind of that I'm passionate about, but also I kind of just want to have a discussion about them. Mm-hmm. And two of them are kind of similar. The last one is just that Ryan and I are going to go to Salem again this weekend, or are planning on going to Salem on Sunday.
Mm.
That's the plan now. My car is currently charging so that it has 100% so that we can make it up there and back with enough charge that I can just plug it in when we get home.
There you go.
That's fun. So we're excited for that. So that's not really something I'm passionate about, but something that is exciting that's going on right now.
There you go.
And this time we're going to do it because I'm not sick right now and he's not sick right now. We do have something that's kind of like maybe allergies are still annoying us because I still have kind of like some nasal congestion, but it's more likely just allergies than anything else.
Mm-hmm. That's so that was my. I'm wondering is like if I've suddenly become allergic to something. Like yeah. here.
Even if it's like pet dander, like just because you're cleaning or washing your hands every time you interact with them, there's pet dander in the air. So it could be pet dander.
I mean, yeah. But like if it's pet dander, then that means I have to find a new place to live,
yeah.
which I don't want to. I like living here.
Yeah.
I like living in the Barbie dream house.
Is that what they call that house?
That's
or is
what
that
we
what
call
you
it
call
here.
It?
Oh, okay. No, that's what we call it is the Barbie dream house.
That's funny. Is it pink in any way?
No, it's just very, very gay.
Oh, okay.
So
the house of queer.
Yes, correct. the house of Lady Gaga, the house of Queer, because there we have tons of Lady Gaga stuff. Like Mac is obsessed with Lady Gaga.
Well, that's good. That's fun. Mm-hmm. What is your first thing that you're passionate about?
This should come as no shock to anybody, but the first thing I'm passionate about is literature.
Okay.
So what's interesting, though, is this came up recently for me, actually, because I had an interview because I've been interviewing a lot, trying to get a new job. And one of the people that I interviewed with was for a personal assistant position. And she asked me who my biggest role model was. And I was like, what?
I mean, that's a good question.
It's a great question, but nobody's asked me that since I was a little kid. Like, and she's like, yeah, I know it's really weird, but it's one of the things that we like to ask people. And I was just like, yeah, no, for sure. And I like sat there for a second and I was like, William Shakespeare. And she was like, what? And I was like, okay, wait, let me tell you why. First of all, William Shakespeare, he's a writer. Like, I'm a writer. He's one of the reasons that I write is because I thought he was really interesting and fascinating growing up. I still think he's fascinating. Anyway, but one, because all of his works are extremely relevant. Like, you can change a couple small things about any given play and apply it to today's issues, and it would be relevant. And we do that a lot. We change a few things, like 10 Things I Hate About You is based on The Taming of the Shrew, you know, that kind of thing. But the other thing too is that there's a lot of words and jargon that he made up that we still use. And my favorite fun fact, which is that the name Miranda did not exist prior to Shakespeare writing The Tempest, because he created the name for his character.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep. So she was like, wow, that's really cool. And I was like, yeah, right? It's pretty neat. So that's a thing I'm passionate about is literature.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why people are passionate with literature, and I am to a certain extent. Nowhere near like you and Ryan. I understand that writing is fundamental and necessary, but the amount of interest I have in like reading or even writing, I don't know that I'm creative enough to write something that's not nonfiction. And even then, it's like, I don't know that I'm interesting enough to have enough people interested in buying something that I would write about myself type of thing.
I think you're interesting enough.
Well, you have some bias though, Sarah. You're a friend.
Okay, but still.
But I appreciate
like if you
that.
Were, I'm going to say, though, if you were to write a tell-all book about your life, most people would probably be interested. I think more people would be interested than you realize.
Maybe. I mean, potentially. Shout out in the email. Our email is nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. If you're interested in hearing a tell-all about my life, let us know. No one listens to this, and we're fine with that. But hey.
Okay, that's not entirely true. Some people listen.
That's true. I mean, we had a couple people buy from our affiliate link, so that's cool.
Yeah, that was really awesome, actually.
So whoever you are, if you're listening, even if you're just getting the affiliate link and going and buying something, we appreciate it because we've gotten some money for doing this. It's not an insane amount.
Like we're not quitting our jobs and doing this full time.
Like potentially buying a couple of cups of coffee, but that's about it.
Exactly.
I enjoy like how interesting people can be and how creative people can be with writing literature. The like my personal experience with reading, I told Ryan this. He every night whenever I was reading the Prayers for Bobby book, when he would come home, we would watch some TV and then he would go and either lay in the tub or take a shower. And every time he took a shower, I was like, well, great, I can't read that long because I have extreme, not anxiety, but it's like I feel like I'm hyper aware that he's there while I'm reading. And I feel self-conscious because I am a slow reader. And it's like sometimes it's not so much that like it was a 200 and I think that it ended up being like 236 pages. Mm-hmm. And it took me a week to read it. And it just I'm like hyper aware once I'm reading around people. So if I can't read where I'm by myself, I have no interest in reading because it's like I'm not flipping the pages fast enough. Especially if I'm reading while someone else is reading as well. I'm like super, this is where my like super competitive side comes in. they're reading faster than I am. I need to read faster. But then it's like some of the content I'm going to miss. And then I can't not. I just have to stop reading. Because it's like, that's a really bad trait to have, being super competitive to that point where it's like, you're reading faster than I am. I'm not going to read now.
You know, but I get that though. Like, I understand. I get really self-conscious about like doing my laundry or taking out the trash sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm too messy. And so then I get like anxious about being too messy. So then I'll just like not take stuff out.
Yeah.
And then it'll be even messier. And then I feel worse.
Oh, I think I get the same thing with the trash, especially because like Brian is bad about, he doesn't like, if he goes to the store and gets something and doesn't take like our reusable bags, it'll be a paper bag. They use paper bags around here, which is fine. But he doesn't like fold them up and put them in the trash or like fold them up and put them somewhere where we store paper bags. Right. He just leaves them out and then starts putting trash in them instead of in the trash can.
Mm.
But then they fill with trash. And then I'm like, well, I can't just take, I'm going to look like a psychopath if I take a bunch of paper bags out that are filled with trash. So it's right? Like, and we're going to, like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, why am I like that? Why do I care? Yeah. Nobody cares whether or not I'm taking like a bunch of trash out of my room.
Do you think it's like the, what is that called? Main character syndrome, that we think everyone is watching us and everybody's paying attention to what we're doing. So it's like we're hyper aware and hyper fixated on it.
Maybe. But what's weird is I don't think of myself as the main character.
No.
Like, I don't even think of myself as the main character in my own story.
And that's a problem. I mean.
No, I agree. That's a problem. I feel sometimes like I am the secondary character in my own life.
Is health issues the main character?
Yes. Yes. It feels like my health issues take center stage the majority of the time.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know why I'm so, but I am. I'm really paranoid about that. I'm really paranoid about eating in public because I always feel like people are judging me.
Yeah.
Because I'm overweight. So like, I just expect people to be like looking and judging every bite I'm putting in my mouth. And so then I can't eat in public because that weirds me out. And yeah. I just like, I struggle to like take out my trash because I'm worried people are judging me for my trash. And I'm just like, bro, that's not even, nobody cares. Nobody's paying close attention to you.
I wonder what has caused that too. Cause it's like, I'm sure a lot of people and anyone listening, if you can relate, let us know. I'm sure a lot of people have the same kind of mentality around it. It's like, you can call it like main character syndrome or whatever, but like there's something that we have been taught or hyper aware of. And maybe it has something to do with like the increase in reality TV where we think, oh, we see how like these people are living. And like our lives aren't like that. Mm-hmm. So why are our lives so different from these people type of thing?
That could be part of it. Yeah.
For life. And maybe even like the increase in like my, like the hoarding TV shows and then like my strange addiction, those types of things. It's like, oh, these are things that are out there. But to me, it's like, if we see all these things, it's like, so it's more common than I think of. So it's more relatable. So someone can actually relate to this issue and it's not so much I'm weird for doing it. It's like, oh, this is something that a lot of people do.
Right.
So I am more normal because I see this person doing it.
Right.
So it's interesting. That was an interesting first topic.
Yeah, it was.
So my first thing is a discussion more around interesting hiring practices and specific. Mm-hmm. This is kind of related to what you've been going through.
Right.
And then I have like three kind of subtopics underneath that. The first one is talking about time management during the hiring process. And this is specific to the hiring manager and the hiring, like the group that's doing the hiring.
Right.
Like you ran into the issue about the interview. You want to talk about your interview that you experienced this last week?
Yes. So I've, as many of you probably know by now, I'm trying to leave my current position because things have been fucking mess. I'm not able to fix it. So I went to an interview the other day. I don't remember what day that was, but regardless, I went to an interview and I get to the place. And the first lady that I spoke with who directed me where to go, lovely. lovely lady. Shout out to her. She was great. She was fantastic. Not so much everybody else. I get to the customer service area. I let somebody know that I'm there for an interview. And they asked me, oh, did you fill out the application online? And I'm like, well, I filled out an application. But they're like, no, did you fill out the application on our website? And I was like, no. And they're like, okay, so you need to fill that out first. And I was like, okay. And they're like, it'll take about 15 minutes.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the first problem. It's like, why do you have other options out there if it's like, if you are like advertising an open position on Indeed or something like that, there's a link that gets included and you can direct that link to your website to do the application.
Exactly.
If that's the way you want to do your application, that's the way you should do it. You shouldn't like, I shouldn't be like you just experienced, put an application in, get called for an interview, and then have to come in and do another application. It's like, I already did this. You should have all the information you need. If you didn't, that's your problem, not mine.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm like, okay, no problem. Whatever. I was annoyed, but I was like, yeah, whatever. I was there early enough that it wasn't a big deal. So I'm filling out the application on their website. First of all, it is not user-friendly. Secondly, it required me to enter in literally every job I've ever had.
Yeah, and that's another thing with applications. It's like, if you're going to ask for a resume, which most of them do, mm-hmm, then don't ask me to enter in my previous work experience, because that's what you have my resume for.
That's what you have my resume for.
There's enough artificial intelligence or whatever out there that you can use it to then have it screen the resume and put that information into the application process, or just review, I don't know, hiring manager, just review the resume.
Right, exactly. And I'm just like, but also how, I'm like, why would you want every single job I've ever had?
Yeah.
Why would you want that?
I usually say if it's more than 3 years old, unless you've been with that place for a very long time, it doesn't make sense to put it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so I went as far back as the BMV.
Okay.
Because I was just like, I'm not going back any further than that. That's 2012. I was just like, I don't remember the names of my managers. I don't remember the phone numbers. I don't remember the addresses. I was like, do you really want to know that I worked for a Korean laundromat for 3 days?
Yeah. Like, and I mean, so yeah, I mean, whenever we do our resume writing and interview classes, whenever I tell people if they're putting stuff on their resume, if it doesn't have, like, if it doesn't create a gap in employment that could be questionable and it doesn't relate to the job that you're working at, don't put it on your resume. So if you're like applying for a customer service job, but then you worked somewhere that has nothing to do with customer service, then, and it was like more than 5 years ago, it doesn't make sense to put that information on there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so then I go through the process of filling it out. And I, you know, I fill it out, I submit it, I go up to let somebody know that I was finished.
Yeah.
And was blatantly ignored. Like, I said, excuse me, and completely ignored me. Nothing, nada. So I'm like, okay, all right, cool. So I go and I sit back down. And during the time that I was filling out the application, they called a girl back for an interview whose interview time was after mine.
Yeah. Well, and it could also be because she had already filled the application out online or in there, like,
That's fine. That's fine and all. But my appointment was at 11:30. They took her back right as I was like finishing up that stupid application. So then my time frame would have been 11:30.
Yeah.
Because I was done before 11:30. But that's not what happened. So then I hear somebody say my name. And so I thought they were asking about me. So I like came up and it was the store manager. And I was just like, you said my name. And she's just like, oh, what were you needing? And I was like, well, I was supposed to have an interview at 11:30, but I've been waiting here for a while because it was almost noon by the time I finally got somebody to pay attention to me. And then it took another 15 minutes for her to pull me back there and like go. She's just like, oh, I'll interview you, blah, blah, blah. She interviews me and then moves me over to the other person that I was supposed to be interviewing with. So they bounced me back and forth, asked the same questions, both of them.
No, I mean, that's typical during an interview process.
And then had me wait again. And it was just everything about it was awful. It was like the worst interviewing experience I think I've ever had.
Yeah. So I think
I do not recommend.
Yeah. So I think my thing with the time management is if you have a job posting that you send out and you post it and people are applying for it, make sure you're responding to those applications in a timely manner. So it's like if I apply for it in like on, say, today, I should receive a response one way or another in at least 2 weeks, like saying, hey, just to let you know, we see that your application was in here. We are still looking at other applicants. It's open until this time frame, which then we will plan on scheduling interviews for those that are selected. Like that makes sense to me. Don't let someone apply and then have them wait for 2 weeks, a month, 2 months without connecting with that person to let them know either way.
Yeah, I think it's extremely rude to not let your applicants know that they weren't selected. So they're not just out there in the ether.
Yeah, I mean, at some point as an applicant, you're just like, okay, obviously I'm not getting that job, but then it is like, right. But then to me as a hiring manager, it's also your duty if you don't select someone to let them know why they weren't selected. If you are an applicant and you work for the company that you're applying for, like a different position somewhere inside the company, my feedback always is if you don't receive why you weren't selected, it is your responsibility then to then reach out. I mean, yes, it is best practice for the hiring manager to send you that information, but you have the full right and the full onus to reach out to that hiring manager and be like, hey, I applied for this position, we interviewed, or if we did an interview, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to check and see what were some things that were missing from my experience or my application that I can then work on to look at this position again in the future when it does come up again, if it does come up again.
Right.
So always, if you are passed over for a job, feel free to reach out to the hiring manager if you have their contact information. If you don't, then obviously reach out to like the hiring, the group that did the hiring. If you have like a talent acquisition person that you are working with or an HR person that you are working with, reach out to that person and be like, hey, I wanted to reach out and see kind of what was the reason behind this. Do it in like a very casual way that doesn't seem defensive. That's like, hey, I was a great option for this. Why didn't I get chosen? Don't be defensive about it, but put it in a way and word it that's like, hey, I was just interested in the future. What were some things that were missing from my application or my experience that would help me be more appetizing or more likely considered for this position in the future? Something like that. You want to word it that's like in a way that doesn't seem, it's very neutral, that's like, I'm working on it, this is what I want, this is something that I really want to do, what are some things that were missing from my profile or my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about during the like for the hiring practices is specific to job postings. Obviously, you can't include every single thing in a job posting, but if it's something that's like key to that position, make sure you include it. But then also always include at least a pay range that's an estimate. And it needs to be something that is not obvious, but something that is kind of, that's not insane. So you can't go like $25,000 to $150,000. That's not a real pay range because the same job can't make either one of those. It's either you're like $75,000 to $150,000. That's kind of a typical, that would make sense because it's about $75,000. But I mean, even then, it might be a stretch to be paid the same. Like if you're first starting out, maybe $75,000, but I don't know that you would still be in the position if you're making $150,000. Mm-hmm. So pay range is something that I think all employers should always put on any job posting that they have and make sure it's like not an obvious, what is the word I'm looking for? Realistic pay range. Mm.
I most recently with pay range, because I had that issue as well with another employee that I interviewed with, where they inflated the pay range on their post because they offer commission.
But
the base pay was only $14 an hour, whereas their posting made it seem like they paid $19 to $22 an hour. But that's because they were including all the opportunities you have for commission, which is also not right. Like, don't put the potential earnings. You need to put the actual earnings, because most people, like, yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are great with commission and they can get commission, but commission is not a guarantee. Yeah. And most of us, especially in today's economy, cannot put all our eggs in a potential basket.
Yeah, I will say, like, it kind of is. I don't really know how commission works, but to me, it would make more sense to put, like, this is the base pay, and then you have, like, the percentage of per commission that you would have. So if it was like a 10% or 20% based on sales, that would be something that you would include in, like, the description of the pay benefits.
Right.
I do think that if it's like, if you're considering, because whenever you, like, apply for a job or whenever you apply for a loan or something like that, they do tell you to include any potential bonuses that you would have in mm-hmm. your like base pay. So, like, for me, the unless I score lower than successful, so like needs improvement or whatever, my base bonus is 10% of my pay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's every year I would get that 10% bonus. So it doesn't make sense for me to not include that in a salary.
Right.
But I mean, don't make it like, oh, your pay is $75,000, but of that, like, it includes the 10% bonus. So you're technically not getting $75,000. You're getting, what would that be? You're getting like 63,000. So it's like, well, no, my base pay is 63,000, but there's a bonus that's included. That would be plus benefits. So that would be the benefits part of the package, not the actual base pay.
Right. Exactly. It's just like, I just don't understand, because, like, it comes across as being very dishonest.
Yeah.
Very manipulative to put a much higher rate and act like that's the base pay when it's not.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I would even, like, sometimes maybe if I was serious about that position, say, okay, I know that this was, like, based on plus commissions, but how close can we get to that dollar amount mm-hmm. without including the position, like without including the commissions, like if it's something that you're super serious about.
Right.
Because it's like, if you really want the job and like the pay that they're giving you is like $10,000. I'm looking at like my personal experience. Right. It's like $10,000 a year less than what you kind of expected. And most of the time within like the first year, you're going to get bumped up to that $10,000 within the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
So my conversation is, if you're applying for a position and they come to you with a salary that you weren't expecting, push back on it and ask, like, what is, I noticed that your pay range was between this, or your salary range was between this. What do I need to do to get it closer? Or what are you realistically looking for in your budget? Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of it is based on like your experience and how much experience you have. And they may say, well, it's based on your experience, so we're looking at the lower end of the range. And then you could kind of maybe talk to, okay, well, what part of my experience maybe doesn't match? Or is there something that, like, what is missing? Because we may have not just discussed it in an interview process, because that's one of the things that happens. It's like, you have a set of questions that you have to ask, and maybe something that I didn't match with those questions. So I need to elaborate on it. Do you have another one?
So something that I've been really passionate about, especially like recently, as I've been kind of struggling with school and whatnot, is how integral language is to everybody.
Yeah.
And like, what's interesting is I was reading, no, I wasn't. I was watching a video on YouTube. There's a lot going on and I'm very full of Benadryl.
I was reading the closed captions of a video.
Where this little girl had learned Korean sign language specifically because she wanted to interact with this person. And I just think it's really interesting how the primary reason that we developed language was to be able to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Like, it was to create a better connection between us, is the reason that language was developed in the first place. And it just kind of reiterated for me how fascinating words are and how interesting it is that like different like sayings can mean different things to different people depending on where they're from or what's going on. You know, how we have a lot of the same sayings across the board, but they're they're a little different depending on which language you're talking in. So for example, like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, where we talk about like kids are often a lot like their parents.
Right.
There's similar sayings in different languages, but they use different words. So like there's one that has to do with fish, for example, because where that saying is used, they're primarily a fishing community, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just wild to me. It's always wild to me. It's very interesting to think about. Like, we wanted connection so badly that we started creating ways to make those connections.
Right. I think I understand what you're saying, and I agree. There's one thing that I will kind of point out that we're kind of dealing with at my main work, where it's, we have people that English isn't their first language, and they don't really speak English enough to even understand if you're talking to them what you're saying. And there's like, it hurts so much to talk to someone and like ask them questions or ask them about their job and them not understand even what I'm saying. Or I do host new hire orientation, so then we have someone that speaks no English that comes in, and they're sitting through a new hire orientation all day where someone is speaking and they have no idea what's going on.
They have no idea. Yeah.
Like, I have no clue how that person feels. I have no clue whether they're understanding. They're obviously not understanding any of the information. And it's, what's worse is the supervisor that hired them doesn't seem to care enough to even understand and realize, be like, okay, I need to send someone. I shouldn't have to request someone to come to my new hire orientation if you know that that person doesn't speak English. You should automatically be planning for that to happen.
Yes.
Like, I shouldn't have to send you an email and be like, hey, this person's English level isn't what it needs to be able to be in new hire orientation by themselves without an interpreter or without a translator. I need someone to be there. So it's interesting. And then kind of on top of that, I'm struggling to understand kind of why, if you know that you're working in a company that the bulk of employees speak English, and like, it's your, if you have to interact with that person, you're not going to understand what they're saying. Why wouldn't you then, if they're offering like a program that helps you learn English better, why wouldn't you jump at that opportunity?
It could be embarrassment.
Yeah.
It could be learning difficulties. It could be a time problem. You know,
there's
a lot of things that can factor into that.
There is. It's just so frustrating because like right now we're looking at getting rid of the program because now we went from having four people for a size for a class for 12 to having three. Mm-hmm. Because one of them had to go back to their home country to visit their family because like they had some family issues that they need to take care of, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
But now we're down to three people because they're going to be out for almost half of the class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can't just leave and come back for 3 weeks. So it's really frustrating. And it's like getting to a point where it's like, I don't really understand what to do unless it's like, okay, I can't do anything to your group. And if you ask me for something, I'm going to say I can't do it because you need to have someone there that's going to help me.
Yeah.
But I do like, from what you were saying, English or language is a great, like it's a tool that you can use. And it's great when people know multiple languages because it gives them more abilities to connect with more people. Mm-hmm. And it's always interesting to see how different, like people from different cultures interact differently with a group. So like, if you are like a lot of people from like an Asian country, Asian countries, they don't like to make eye contact a lot with people because mm-hmm. they feel like it's disrespectful to make eye contact. So you'll see them like looking down, but they're still paying attention.
Right.
So it's kind of, unless the person that's speaking understands that, they're like, oh, well, they're not listening to me. They don't know what I'm saying. They're not paying attention. It's like, no, that's just their culture. You have to be aware of the differences in culture as well. Even if it is maybe, it is an English barrier or a language barrier. You do also still have to be aware of the different cultures. And there are some cultures where they may not look at you, but there are some cultures where they make like intense eye contact to where it's a little uncomfortable. Or they get really close to you when you're talking and it makes you a little uncomfortable, but that's just because that's how they're used to communicating.
That's how they communicate. Yeah. It's like one of the most interesting things for me when it comes to language is also body language.
Yeah.
Because each culture has their own unique body language, as you're saying. So, like in a lot of Asian countries, they're very deferential, especially to older people. Or if they don't know whether or not you're older than them, they're just going to defer to you automatically. So, yeah, they're not making as much eye contact, but they are still there. They're still paying attention. But then you get other cultures, like in some Indian cultures, from India, Indian, not Native Americans. In India, they have different nods for different things. So if you're speaking to somebody who's from India, you may notice that when they're talking to you, they're nodding their head, they're moving it a lot. Each different head nod means something different, like whether they're agreeing with you or they're disagreeing, or whether they're active listening, or, you know, what your relation is to them, that kind of thing. Like there's so much involved in who we are as people outside of just the verbal language.
Yeah.
It's just so cool to me. It's just very fascinating. I this is why I want to be a linguist, is because I think language is so interesting and so fascinating that we just came up with it. We were just like one day like, okay, this is what this means. This is what this means. You know, we assigned names. We did stuff like what?
And then how it adapts even in like the same, like China, there's multiple different dialects in China. So there's Mandarin, there's like traditional Chinese, there's simplified Chinese, there's Cantonese. So there's so many different like dialects where, yeah, some of the base things, like main things, are the same in the different dialects, but they could also mean very drastically different things. It's interesting how differently they change, just even just based on one culture.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And it's fascinating to me, the diversity of language. And the other thing too that I love about language that a lot of people don't love, and y'all can just suck it up, which is language is a living organism. Language is constantly changing. We are constantly learning new things about language. We're constantly coming up with new words for things because everything around us is a living organism and is constantly changing. So our language also has to be constantly changing. So then when people come in and they start making all these hate comments about things like bae or lit or, you know, whatever XYZ word that is currently super popular, like Riz, for example.
Riz.
Riz was the word of the year.
I know, yeah.
The dictionary.
Wasn't there another one too, though?
I think there was, yeah.
Yeah, but, moving on.
But the cool, but that's amazing. The thing that people don't understand when they're bitching and griping about, like, why do we have all these new words? What does this even mean? Why do we have this new slang? Well, slang has always been a thing.
Yeah.
But also, that's a good sign. That shows that we're still interacting with our language and we're still developing and growing as people. So we are creating new words to fit new situations and continuing on. This is why I loved Shakespeare so much. He created new words that prior to that time, nobody knew what those words meant.
Yeah.
He made them up. He just said, this is what this means. Here we go. Like, that's all language is. And so then you get these people who get in this mind of like, oh, they're destroying language by adding all these new things, blah, blah, blah. No, language is living.
It's
changing.
It's more like you're stifling the community and culture by sticking with specific languages. Because if we were to just stick with one language, we would still be speaking like maybe Elizabethan era language, where it's like a lot of it, like if we were to try and speak to someone in like the Elizabethan language in the United States, they wouldn't understand at all what they were saying. Or if it would be very minimal. So it's exactly. Like, but it's still English. So it's like,
still English.
That's what doesn't make sense.
I agree.
So my other one, and they kind of tie into each other, but the first one is college necessary? So that's a question. I even wrote a paper about it in school where I was discussing like what the benefits are with college. And my personal preference is I don't think college is as necessary as experience. And a company should, if they're interested in developing and retaining the talent that they have, be willing to put a lot of money into an employee or employer-sponsored learning program that provides the employee that they're looking to develop with the items that they need to be successful, whether that be communication training, whether that be Excel training, whether that be whatever they may need. If they're interested that much in retaining talent, then they should be also interested or willing to put the money together to develop and help create that learning atmosphere for that for those people.
Agreed.
And then also be willing to give them the time to do the learning while they're being paid. So if they're learning, they're doing their training, and they're doing it for a job that they're going to be going into or wanting to go into, they should be able to do it while they're on the clock.
Yeah.
Now that kind of does say, well, what if someone is going to college and they get a degree? Should the company then be paying them while they're in school and going to college? My answer to that is, I mean, there are a lot of tuition reimbursement programs. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the same thing, where you're being reimbursed for going to school and completing your degree through your employee-sponsored program. So right. the programs can look different. So if it's like someone's like, well, I don't really care to do it through work, and they want to go for something that's like a degree that they can then take, even if they don't stay with that company, they can take to move on to a different company, and still have that degree that goes over different, that is applicable to different areas.
Right.
But it's still sponsored through your work.
I think it's important that companies invest in their people.
Yeah.
Whether that's through educational options or like what you've been trying to do at your company, which is, you know, English as a secondary language options, you know, things like that. I think it's important to invest in your people. And I think that's what a lot of companies miss out on nowadays, because they just want to complain about how nobody wants to work. But the reality is that they're not making it a good place to work.
Yeah.
They're not making the wage good enough to work. They're not providing any benefits. They don't actually care about their people. Like, you know, if you don't care about your people and you're not paying enough to like make your people care, then of course nobody's going to want to work for your company.
Right.
You're not showing that you actually give a fuck about your people.
And I do want to put just some clarifying language in here. This isn't based on like my personal experience with my work, because I've had great experience. And I think we do have a really robust and good program that we do offer. And then we also offer like the tuition reimbursement, like I talked about, because I mean, I wouldn't have my master's degree if I didn't have the tuition reimbursement program through work. So this is, for me personally, this is nothing to do about my job. Although I do think everyone, even my current employer, has the ability to do better. Mm-hmm. I'll put that in there. I will put that in there.
Mine is based on personal experience. Mine is absolutely based on personal experience. Let me tell you why I want to leave this job. So I know I've talked a lot about like the upheaval at work, but a lot of the upheaval was that I became the assistant manager in October, at the end of October, beginning of November, and my manager quit.
Yeah, shortly after.
Her last day was January 10th. And I found out recently that not only did she give like super advanced notice, it was even more notice than I realized.
No.
Because she told me, she's like, I gave them a month's notice, you know, to try to find somebody else. And I was just like, okay. But then I found out that she actually gave more than a month's notice. They knew before Thanksgiving that she was going to be leaving. And her last day was January 10th. So the company did not find somebody, and then put all of that on me when I was literally brand new and trying to figure stuff out. Did not send me any help. And then had me go through the process of interviewing people for front desk, and then like doing all that work, and then telling me no, I couldn't hire those people because the new manager, that they literally waited until I, you know, submitted my notice to tell me that they were coming on. But they hired somebody from outside the company who's never done this job before, who has no idea what she's doing.
That's frustrating.
And then I'm the one who has to train her. But I'm not getting paid more to train her. And they promised me that they were going to give me more money for the time frame that I had to be the only manager, but then didn't give me the amount that they told me that they were going to. But because it wasn't in writing, I can't protest it.
Yeah. I mean, so that's one thing that I would always kind of say to someone that is in a position like you are, even if you are, if it's a verbal conversation, and that there's plenty of TikToks and other people that have said this, but I'm going to like reiterate and kind of expand on that. If you have a conversation with someone that's person to person, sending an email after that to that person and be like, I just want to recap the conversation that we just had. This is like what were the expectation is of me. And you said this based on the conversation. That kind of does put it in writing, whether they say, okay, thank you for your response, whatever, or not. It's like, we had this conversation. Here's where I documented it from my kind of my personal experience.
Right.
And you received it. Like, you had to have received it. It's in your email. It's not my fault if you didn't get your email, because it's sent. Like, that's how email works. Whether you receive it or not, that's your fault. Whether you read it or not, that's your problem.
Right.
It was sent. It was delivered. I have this email showing it was delivered. This is the conversation that we had. I get there's no agreement there, but you can say, so we did have this conversation. If I was wrong, the expectation is for you to come back and say, hey, this isn't actually what we agreed on. Here are the actual terms. That's on the person that is like in that position to respond and say, no, this isn't the correct terms. This is what we actually agreed on. Mm-hmm. So anytime you can, it will look like it may look like to the manager or whoever you're having this conversation with that it might be annoying to them, but it's like, you just have to understand from my personal experience, this is something that I need to do so that I know I'm getting the information correct, but then also we're on the same page. Exactly. So anytime you have a conversation that's one-on-one, and like I said, this has been like in a ton of TikToks, a ton of YouTube videos, a lot of stuff recently, recap that conversation in an email.
Mm-hmm. And I should have done that and I didn't. Yeah.
It's always, what is it called?
An afterthought?
No, it's like 20 something, vision is 2020. What is it called?
Hindsight is 2020.
Hindsight is 2020, yes, thank you. So yeah, it's always like, I know I should have done that, especially now. And I mean, hopefully, I always think of it as this is a learning experience. So in the future, now you know. Yeah. Now you should, anytime you have that conversation, send it to them in an email. And I would always say, if you have a work email, always do it in your work email.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because there's always, like, there's ways that you can like say, well, it shows that it was delivered, so I'm sending it to you.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter?
My desk is vibrating for some reason, but my phone's not going off. I don't know what's going on.
That's really weird.
It's fine. It stopped. I don't know what that was though, but that was weird. But yeah, and this goes to anyone. So if you have a conversation in person with someone and it's about like your responsibilities or your role changing, and you, especially if there's a conversation about more compensation, put that in an email and just say, I'm just reflecting on the conversation that we just had. Please let me know if this makes sense and this is if we're on the same page.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Do you have another one? I have one more.
I did, but now I don't remember what it was.
Okay. So my other one, and we don't have to discuss this, but I think we've talked about it in the past and I wrote an entire paper about it in for my master's, is AI learning or AI in learning. So utilizing artificial intelligence to help create an adaptive learning experience based on the needs of that learner or that user.
Yeah.
So a lot of companies are looking into where they have like kind of like they gamify or add some gamification into their learning process. Mm-hmm. Where it's basically like a knowledge assessment or a quiz, but it's more in the form of like a game where they're asking you questions, and based on how you answer the question, it will take the AI and adapt your learning to make it to where you understand. It's focusing on the areas that you need to improve on. I think that's something that is a great application for artificial intelligence, and something that most places where they are looking into increase the learning and provide their employees or their learners with a better experience and a more robust learning program should look into utilizing, and how they can adapt all of their trainings, whether it be not, obviously not every single training can utilize this process, but something like communication training. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to sit you in a room and we're going to talk about how to better communicate for an hour. Right. And then you're going to understand how to better communicate. That's never going to work. Or very rarely. And I'll say in very rare circumstances, does it ever work where someone leaves and it's like, oh, my communication plan is completely drastically changed based on this one single interaction.
Right.
If that's the way that that worked, we wouldn't have MAGA.
Yeah.
Like, so if that's the way, if that's the way everyone learned, we wouldn't have people that still believe in some of these insane conspiracy theories. Because
that we talked about last time.
Yes. So it's like you should have the ability to have it where there's like, this is the stuff that this person should know. And if they're missing pieces, there's like A, B, C, and D. If they're missing or they're not as strong with C and D than they are with A, B, and C, then the learning's still going to focus on all of them, but have a bigger focus on C and D
right.
than A, B, and C, but still kind of throw A, B, and C still in there.
Yeah,
I will say, I think Duolingo does a good job of that. If you're trying to learn a new language, this is not sponsored. I wish that would be great, but this is not sponsored. But I do, like the little bit that I use Duolingo, it was interesting how it would say, okay, hey, you messed up on these, like these were some of the things that we focused on last time that you missed. Let's play with them again and we'll come back to them. Even as you progress through this learning program, we'll still come back to them and be like, did you still understand that? Does this still resonate with you? Do you still get this information?
Right.
So if you're looking for a learning platform for learning a new language, Duolingo is great.
I have beef with Duolingo.
Do you? Did you lose your progress?
No. So what happened was this. I was using Duolingo because I was trying to help myself refresh on some of the things that I forgot for my Korean class.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to take Korean 2 because I had cancer. So now I'm in Korean 2, but it's been so long since I had Korean 1 that it's a struggle, you know, because I didn't get to use any of the skills that I learned previously. So I was trying to use Duolingo for that. But then Duolingo started just giving me corporate names, like teaching me how to pronounce corporate names, like McDonald's and Samsung.
That's weird.
And I was like, okay, but this isn't relevant to what I'm trying to learn right now.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, we'll get past that, whatever. But then not only was it teaching me the corporate names, but then it just started teaching me not even the real Korean words. Like it taught me hair, but it wasn't the Korean word for hair. It was hair spelled in Korean. So it was like pronounced heya.
That's weird.
And I'm just like, that's literally, no, absolutely not. And it did that for two sessions. And I was like, you know what? I'm good. This is not actually teaching me anything real. So we're good.
So speaking of McDonald's, have you seen what they've done recently?
No.
So I don't know if you've like been seeing it on TikTok or whatever, but instead of an M, it's a W.
I saw that they were doing, because I saw a glass recently. Somebody bought McDonald's and I saw it. I was like, what is this?
So it's apparently they teamed up with a popular anime genre called Isekai, I-S-E-K-A-I, to explore a story's main character who suddenly finds themselves transported to a parallel other world. And they have a new dipping sauce, savory chili McDonald's sauce.
But they're still sending money to Israel. So until they stop doing that, I will not be supporting them.
Interesting.
I also don't buy Starbucks anymore because of that.
We've had that discussion.
Yeah. So
that was just something. I mean, you were talking about it and it brought up that. And I was like, oh, no, I remember this happening.
And like, by the way, according to Duolingo, the way that you say McDonald's in Korean is McDonald's. So if anybody wanted to know, there you go.
That's weird.
Because that was important that I knew that. Because that literally is going to apply to real life situations.
Yeah, I mean, I do. It does seem like maybe they have received some sponsors recently, and that might be why their learning platform is including these things, which does seem a little kind of fishy. Do you use the like paid Duolingo or is it the free?
Oh, no, I was using the paid.
Oh, that's interesting. I would say, like, to me, if you pay for it, then it would be less likely that you'd see those things.
Nope.
That's interesting.
I was paying for it and...
So call to action, Duolingo, get your shit together.
Yeah, no fucking joke. I'm just like, if you're gonna be teaching languages, nobody wants to learn the names of corporate sponsors.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to know the English transliteration of the word. They want to know the actual word.
No.
I want to know the actual word for hair, not hair in a Korean accent.
That's insane. And I do know there are some...
To be honest.
A little bit. Yeah. There are some things that it's like there is no other language equivalent to it.
Oh, yeah.
So it is just, yeah. And most of those are like corporate names. But then again, it's like, do you need to be learning corporate names when you're trying to like just get to understand a language? No.
I'm just like, in what scenario do I need to know these corporate names to be able to converse with somebody? Yeah. Because I guarantee I am not talking to somebody about McDonald's. Like the majority of the time, I don't talk about McDonald's. Why would I be talking about McDonald's? Like other than right now where I'm saying don't buy from them because they support Israel and fuck Israel. But, you know, beside the point, like.
Well, do you have anything else you want to discuss?
No, I think that was about it.
All right. Do you have anything fun going on this weekend other than trying to figure out your hives?
No. Actually, I have work, and that's about it. That's about all I got going on. I got to finish one of my classes is done tomorrow. So I have a test I have to take and a paper I have to finish writing and all that to get that turned in by tomorrow. Yeah, so pretty much it's just going to be a lot of schoolwork. Though I do have to go and run some errands. And I finally got approved to drive as a delivery driver for Uber Eats and Grubhub. Yeah. So I'm probably going to do that a little bit today as well. Try to make a little extra money.
That's good.
What about speaking of,
I saw this video yesterday on TikTok where it was a delivery driver who was in like maybe New York or one of the, like maybe a, like Ottawa or something like a big city. He was a delivery driver that was riding a bicycle and he was taking a delivery to a company that he had to like walk into and they had to like buzz him in, take his ID and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he was recording it for his safety. Mm-hmm. And they were like, ask, are you recording us? And he said, I am. I mean, I always record because it's like for my personal safety. And like he did it with, he had three deliveries for this person. So he had to like go to the store, grab the stuff, deliver it. Then he had to go back to the store, pick up more stuff for their delivery and take it back to them. And like the second time that he came in, this woman like ran from the door. Like he came in, she saw him coming in. She like scurried away from the front desk and like ran away. Cause obviously I think it's because she obviously didn't want to be recorded.
Oh, fair.
But it is like, it is interesting. It's like, what do you think about if you had to like wear like a body cam or something like that? Like how would you go about disclosing that information to like people you may be interacting with? Just to let them know, hey, by the way, this is being recorded because of my personal safety.
I would just probably be upfront with them before I even started the conversation, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would just be like, hey, before we get started, I just need you to know I'm recording this for my own personal safety. This is a protection for myself. If you don't want your face recorded, you know, let me know. Blah, blah, blah.
And it might even be like something as a delivery driver, because I know you can like, I know I message back and forth with the delivery drivers when they get here or if they're getting close or whatever. It could be something that the delivery driver maybe shoots to them while they're waiting for their food. Be like, hey, by the way, for my personal safety, I always have a recording device that's on me that's doing like the like camera recording. So video and audio recording. So if you don't want to interact with me, let me know and I can just leave it somewhere for you to pick it up. Just let me know where to pick it up from.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, it's something like that, that it's like, you're sitting there waiting. Some of the times, there may be some times when it's like, in this guy's instance, he's going to the place, picking it up, not waiting. And as soon as he's there, as soon as he gets there, it's ready for him. So he's grabbing it going. But at some point you could take a minute to shoot a text to that person, be like, hey, by the way, just as an FYI, this is something that I do for my personal safety. If you're not comfortable with it, let me know where I can drop it off, where I don't have to interact with someone and I can tell you when it's dropped off at that location and then take a picture of it and send it to you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand both sides of that because obviously nobody wants to be filmed without their consent. Right. Like nobody likes that. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, especially in today's world, unfortunately, it's pretty much the best security system you have.
Yeah.
Is filming.
Because it's like they can't say that you did something when you have
evidence,
video evidence that it didn't happen. Yeah. I mean, that was something I think I just saw it last night and I was like, that's kind of an interesting concept of recording like any interaction if you are like that type of like delivery driver or whatever. But then it's like
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, then it's just like, you need to make sure that the other person is aware. And it might be something that maybe Uber Eats or whoever, whatever platform they're using, it might be something they may want to look into disclosing. Like, hey, by the way, by like put it in their like terms of agreement or whatever, or have it to where it's a setting that the driver can choose. I record my deliveries where it will send them a warning, say that says if that driver or that delivery person picks their order, it sends that person that got the order an alert that just says, hey, this person records their delivery. So for your awareness, if you would like to choose to have them just drop it off somewhere, you can click this button and they will drop it off.
No, I agree.
Anything else?
Nope.
Ready to call it a podcast?
Yeah, I'm starting to get itchy. Right.
Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. Please leave us a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get us out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our Instagram and Twitter and all of the handles are at Now About That Pod. If we're not there in the search, then we're not on that platform. If there is something specific you would like us to discuss on the podcast, or you just want to talk to us and chat about the podcast, you can email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text message with any questions or comments that you have. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week since this will be coming out on Monday. And Sarah, enjoy your weekend. Hopefully you don't have to itch all the time.
Fingers and toes crossed.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Have fun in Salem.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.